World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You're muted, JR. You're muted.
Morning, morning, morning. Hope you're all doing well. Setting in for Coach today. Appreciate the opportunity. It's JR Harrison. You know what this month is, don't you, folks? That's right. It's Natural Family Month. Or is that Nuclear Family Month? Or is that Traditional Family Month? As long as we're talking about the biblical family, one biological born man, one biological born woman, and a lifelong committed monogamous relationship with their children, biological or adopted, bingo, the foundation of society, the first institution that God created for the benefit of man. I got a short video I want to start with this morning, and then we'll get into the meat of the matter, and go ahead and play that if you would, please.
Is going to sound crazy, like really crazy.
Marriage rates have been declining since the 70s, and 2021 was the first year that more children were born out of wedlock than in it.
For the first time ever since records began, 50.1% of women are childless by 30.
The U.S. fertility rate has plummeted for the past 15 years.
But people are choosing to get married later or live together beforehand or even not getting married at all.
The nuclear family has almost been destroyed in the United States. You know, how many kids come from, you know, two-parent household with both parents that were their biological parent?
18%. People get married on average like 10 years later now than they did.
It's destroying the country.
If there is one thing that is apocalyptically different about our generation compared to every single other generation in history, it is the near total disintegration of the family unit, at the very least in the Western world. In 1960, 73% of children were living in a family with two married parents who were on their first marriage. By 1980, that had dropped to 61% of children, and today it is less than half. Almost 50% of all the marriages in the United States end in divorce, and researchers estimate that 41% of first marriages end in divorce. If we look at the up-and-coming generation, only half of today's teens will go on to get married at any point in their life, in spite of the fact that almost all of them aspire to marriage at some point in their lives. And families where the parents are unmarried do not fare as well. Cohabiting parents only make up 19% of all couples, but they make up 50% of family breakdown. And some people might respond, well, that's people's choices, people's desires change over time. This is fine, it's not a problem. The issue is that it is a problem. We can clearly see that. The destruction of the Western family is leading to the destruction of the West as a whole. Fatherlessness and broken families lead to a vastly increased chance of going to prison, vastly higher rates of violent crime, increased mental health problems, increased government spending. Fatherlessness is the single largest driving factor behind poverty, vastly more so than race. Did you know that in America, a white child from a mother-led household is three times more likely to end up in poverty than a black child from a two-parent household? And it is not just an American thing. The same pattern is repeated everywhere. In Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Scandinavia, the household is declining, and where it declines, the society falls apart. You need to hear this. The destruction of the family is the destruction of the Western world.
Wow. So what do you all think? Before we get into that, does anybody have any results from the California election? I did not get up. I did not see anything this morning. Any good news out there? Any good news out there? I don't see any hands up. I guess we'll get to that later.
Like I said, the king is still on his throne, brother. The king is still on his throne.
Okay. Thanks, James. That is true. That is true. And we are his subjects and need to act accordingly, which we,
well,
we don't
JR.
Do. Yes, sir.
JR, Katie Porter lost.
Who did?
Katie Porter.
Okay. Who's Katie Porter?
She's a very horrible candidate.
In what state?
California.
California. In California? They didn't hire a horrible candidate? That's hard to believe. I'll have to double check that. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks, Vinny. You're I appreciate welcome. That. Hey, I had mentioned that this is Natural Family Month, Nuclear Family Month, Traditional Family Month. And over the past 3 years, there's been a movement towards noticing a need for a biblical family, if you will. And we've been pushing this since 2022, late 2022. Got several states that have declared a nuclear, natural, traditional family month, which is good. It's a good start. I had, where's that information? Something I didn't, I know the state of Tennessee and Indiana this year, both, and there's also some cities across the USA, are replacing Pride Month with a celebration of the tradition of the family. Again, the family determined by the laws of nature and nature's God. I just found this out yesterday. I knew about Tennessee and about Indiana, and our good friend Rusty Thomas in Florida had his city. We had him on our last call podcast, lastcallradio.live. This past Saturday, we had Rusty on. We had Bud Halsey from Tennessee on. Bud's a fellow, the driving force behind the Nuclear Family Month in Tennessee, and Rusty in Florida in the city. But I just found out that in Alabama, Governor Kay Firecracker Ivey proclaimed June to be Strong Families Month. She quite rationally tied it directly to Father's Day, Sunday, June 21st. Fathers lead, support, and protect family, the governor said. And in a statement that set fourth wave feminist short cropped hair on fire. In coordination with Father's Day, the official statement said Governor Ivey is recognizing fathers' lasting impact on the lives of Alabama children and families. As the head of the household, fathers play an essential role by providing leadership, protection, support that helps shape strong families and strong communities. I wonder what's going on in Louisiana. Dale, are you with us this morning?
I'm here.
All right. What's going on in Louisiana?
Well, there's a lot of good things. You know, as of that, we are at our church are doing the Natural Family Month. We do it through the Mother's Day through Father's Day. But there's you know, nothing that I am on the radar that's going to say that, you know, we have a push on a Natural Family Month in legislation. There's a lot of things going on in our legislation right now because the voters are striking down pay raises for teachers and everything just because they're you know, millage. When you see millage on a ballot, know that it's a tax. And that's kind of happening across the board right now. But, you know, a lot of things that are showing as good things, and that is there's no abortion clinics. You know, we're pushing to ban the pills here and stuff. So, but legislation wise on the Natural Family Month, there's nothing happening per se legislation wise.
You're muted, JR.
Other than what you're doing, and you said your church is celebrating the Natural Family Month from Mother's Day through Father's Day. I think we have a picture or two, don't we? There you go.
You might want to describe these for audio listeners.
Yeah, Dale, go ahead.
Okay, so, well, I mean, We have the signs. I bought the cases of signs. And so everybody in our church, not only do we have them in our church, we have the natural family flag on the wall. The outside of the building, we have them. Everybody in our church has them. And so what I do for that month to keep that afresh, I start with Mother's Day, but then all of my messages are geared up towards, we'll do the grandparents, we'll do the body of Christ, we'll do the children's in the ministries, we do the Father's Day, the family in the community. So everything is geared around the family. All of the messages, and of course, this year it's crazy because Father's Day is late, so it's six messages on the family. But you know what? It's great. People love it, and we enjoy it.
Yeah, that last picture there is in Maine. Our good friend Jack is running for office out there, and he's got the natural family sign with the his sign above it. I love the efforts of the folks. We had a great time couple of years ago in Wisconsin, Marshfield. They had a great event there. Great event in Marshfield. Neil, I think Neil will come on here later today and we'll talk a little bit about that. But here's the key, folks. Actually, I'm going to start this off right. As goes the fathers, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. I mentioned earlier on that the first institution that God created for the benefit of man was a family, and there's a reason for that. We have a Father in heaven. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. How would we know? What kind of emphasis would there be if there was, we were in a 1984 Brave New World scenario where you don't get married. You just have test tube babies. There is no father. There is no mother. What happens then, folks? Again, the family has been the foundation of all civilization. Starts with the family. As the family grows, we start getting a tribe, if you will. And then maybe you become a city, and then a state, and then a nation. But the family is always the core. If you look back at Rome and other great nations, when they started messing with the structure of the family, with the content of the family, the place of the family in society. And today, the family, I mean, it's not even at the dinner table or Thanksgiving table. You have that little card table for the kids. That's where your family is. Structure-wise, you have Ephesians 5, if you will. You have God, Jesus Christ, man, woman, children. That's a vertical relationship. Children need authority. They look for that. And that's what the father should provide. But we really haven't done our job, folks. This could all help turn around if we just get the fathers more engaged. Yeah, I know. There are exceptions to the rule. There are single parents out there. But that is not why you got married to be a single parent, is it? Children need that mother and that father. Dale, comments?
Well, all the statistics, whether saved, unsaved, church, or unchurch, all say the very thing, especially when you go back to Lyndon B. Johnson in the 1968, creating the welfare system. Let's get dad out of the house. We realize if we don't have a dad, we can get more welfare, government checks, and all. Look, and I get the excuses. I understand. I got single mothers in my church, and, but that is never the way God designed it to be. And the results are exactly what they are. And because of it, violence, crime, children on drugs, poor education, all of those things are not when mom's not in the home. They're the fact when dad is not in the home. And God created Adam first, and God saw that it's not good for Adam to be alone. And so he made a helpmate and he made the woman, and it all begins there. And look, I started that whole thing with, you know, the big thing, if you ask people, when are you going to have children? They say, when we can afford it. And I always bring them back to Adam and Eve, and I ask them this question: what job did God give to Adam? Did he tell him to go down and work at Walmart, the superstore, at the car parts store when he had a wife? Is that what he told him to do? No, he made him, he joined them together, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. The fruit comes from the land, is from God, right? One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. God's going to make provisions. He really is. And so this logic that, oh, we're going to have children when I can afford it. I want to tell you something. Somebody who's married 34 years and five children, you'll never be able to afford it. Just do it.
Just do it. Nike, yeah. Nike family, just do it. I love it.
Oh, hey, there you go. Nuclear Nike family. There you go. Another another slogan.
Hey, Jack, come on in.
Nuclear, right? Nuclear. Oh, gee. I just tell you this. I was in the local liquidator store the other day here in Maine, and I saw something in the case, and I was stunned. I had to look at it three or four times to make sure it was what I was really looking at. It was an artificial insemination kit.
What?
A what? That's what I said. A what? It was only $19.95. An artificial insemination kit. So here's a do-it-yourselfer, so you don't have to be married or have things, have the fun part. You just gotta, you know, you just stick it in here with this. What?
Does it come with an abortion pill as well?
I probably, just in case you didn't like the artificial part. What the heck? Where are we?
So that, yeah, that is the question. That is the question. And yeah, there's, I mean, the church needs to get more engaged. Obviously, they need to get more engaged. But part of that, by the way, is maybe we haven't asked the church to get engaged. I went to a new church about a month ago and listened to the sermon, and I went up to the pastor and explained who I was and what I was representing, the Natural Family Foundation. And I said, hey, we have these signs that celebrating the natural family from Mother's Day to Father's Day. Would you be interested in, and this is on a heavy intersection. I said, would you be interested in putting the sign in your yard? Pause. He said, yes. I said, what? I'm not used to hearing that. He said, yeah, go ahead. And it's been there for the beginning of our celebration, which is encouraging. I didn't know. I didn't know till I asked. And you don't know till you ask. But I know one of the issues that we have in America is that we are an amoral, an unjust nation. And we're that way because the family's broken. But what about the church? Yeah, I get that. But if you have broken families, you have single parents, you have somebody that's practicing an alternative lifestyle, if you will, what are you going to do as a pastor? How do you handle that? As versus a church full of homeschooled families with male leadership makes a difference. Makes a huge, huge difference. And we have to recognize that. As goes the father, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. And how are we doing today in America, folks? As a family.
We're blaming it on the pastors.
Yeah.
But we don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror. JR, I'm just saying, look, I get it. There's a lot of bad pastors. But to me, if I was going to a church, let's just per se, and I go in there, and the pastor is preaching on the acceptance of homosexuality or anything hinting towards that, do you think in my own right mind that I'm going to hang out in a church like that? No, I'm going to leave. And if the people left a church like that, the church would cease to exist. It's not the pastors. It's our job. The Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of God. And so we just want to go, nope, it's the pastors. Nope, it's the pastors. And I'm like, yeah, but are y'all even opening up your Bible at home? Look, we're talking about the Christian family. Do they even open up the scripture? Do they read as a family? Is that part of their daily routine? Nope, not at all. You know, the church has your children for 1 hour on Sunday mornings and maybe a half hour on a Wednesday night. And that is supposed to satisfy that spiritual being of that kid for the rest of the week. Nope. Look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. And if you're in a church that is not promoting biblical, true, godly values, leave.
Okay, don't have a problem with that. I would, on my way out, I would let the pastor know why I'm leaving.
There you go.
And then maybe he'll say, whoa, hold on a second. I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't really thought about that. Not real? I don't know. You don't know either until you ask. I'm going to have a lunch with the main pastor of this church. And I guess I'm give them fair warning who I am. And that's okay. That's okay. I love it. I love it. Adam, go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. Yeah,
maybe I'm out of line. Maybe I'm just a troublemaker. I don't know. But I pastored in a church for 22 years, left, and now I lead a home church. But, you know, I think it would be great, and I've had this thought for years, maybe it'd be great if those of us who are actually saved on any given Sunday, gather together with a bunch of sandwich boards out in front of these fake churches and proclaim to the neighborhoods, to the people that are going in, you're going to a fake church that promotes homosexuality. Let us cause a stir out in the street. We don't have to step on their property.
Adam, I've been a political activist, Christian activist, righteous activist for 38 years. And what you're talking about, we've done. We had a group of people stand outside of a major church here in Columbus, Ohio, with huge signs that said, help us save babies, help us save marriages, Christian men engage the culture. We did that for 9 months. And this is, there's thousands of people attend this church. We were there for the three services on Sunday, and we were there Saturday night for that service. Huge billboards. You couldn't miss them. They took us to court and got a restraining order, Adam. What do you think?
I think these people are charlatans. I guess they don't believe that part of the Bible either that says you're not supposed to sue a brother in Christ, which proves that they're not really brothers and sisters in Christ.
A church telling Christians they're not invited, they can't come into the church. It's absolutely amazing. But again, folks, you don't know what you can do. I really emphasize doing. When I was growing up, it was very difficult for me, and I saw a very negative world. Behind every rainbow, there's a cloud. And boy, I mean, I'm not going to go into all that kind of detail, but I was making bad things happen because I was thinking bad things were happening. I would let bad things happen to me. I would make bad things happen to me because that's what I saw. That's pretty much where we are today in America, by the way. Behind every rainbow, there's a cloud. Nothing either party does, nothing the liberal progressive does, or the conservative does, or the Christian does, we're not happy with it. They didn't do it right. And folks, we are cauterized. We're at right and left. There is no center. We're cauterized. It's either all right or all left or it's wrong. And we need people like you, thinkers, doers, to get engaged in the game and start making some suggestions. That's how the Natural Family Month came about. Christians in general, conservatives in general, like to paint themselves into a corner and then complain when they get their feet wet. That's because we're always playing defense. We wait for the enemy to engage a plan, and then we go, oh, that's bad what they just did. That's terrible what they did. It's awful what they did. But what do we do to counter that? And that's how the natural family came about, is we saw that as a positive move. Instead of complaining about gay pride, how about offering an alternative? Public, think about the natural family. Think about being married for the rest of your life. Being loyal to your wife or husband. Having children. Children are an education. I kid about this a lot, but this is true. When I graduated from college, I thought I was pop stuff, okay? And a job, being very successful at it. Got married, and then we had a child. And I realized within probably 24 hours just how stupid I really was. They are an education, and they're an education in love. They're going to teach you things about love. I feel so terrible for the generations that don't think that they want to get married. And for heaven's sakes, have a child when you're married. What they're missing. I mean, you haven't lived unless you've been a parent. You just haven't lived. I'm sorry. There's just something there that is beyond description. Beyond description. James, go ahead, please.
That's a pretty good, I guess I'm Malachi verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts to the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, verse 5 talks about Elijah the prophet. But I would, if you kind of look at what's going on in America, probably not only America, the world, mm-hmm. you could probably say we've been smitten by this curse. You know what I'm saying?
Smitten by who?
By this curse that God said he would do in Malachi. He shall, chapter 4, verse 6, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And you can see the family breakdown, and you could say, I think maybe we're in that curse. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree with that. If I see a problem, James, if I see a problem, my immediate thought is, okay, how do I resolve this? Now, this is from the old days. I would do what most people in America are doing today. Oh, look how bad that problem is. You know what? It's even worse. It's even worse than you thought it was. Look over here and look at this. And then somebody will come along and tap me on the shoulder. But yeah, you know what? It's even worse than what you're saying. Because of yada, yada, yada. As versus, listen, the family should be a child-oriented institution. Not an adult's feelings, but a child's needs. And each child is born with an inherent need for one biological father, one biological mother. They have a need for both of those. Fathers provide something different than mothers do. And by the way, folks, you can call yourself a mother and not have the right chromosomes, or a father and not have the right chromosomes. But without a blood test, that child knows the difference between a male and a female and has different expectations. I had a video. Hang on a second, if I can find the number. Number 4. If you'll play that, producer. Number 4, real quick, please. 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Can absolutely say with certainty that I was looking for a woman's love. I needed a mother's love. Specifically, and I could not reconcile my own identity without that. I went home from the hospital with both of my biological parents. My parents got a divorce and separated, and it was fairly messy custody-wise. My mother ended up with my sister, and my father ended up with me. So my mother was not a part of my childhood at all. I have no memory or recollection of her at all during my childhood years. My father was in a relationship with Billy. There's not a moment in my childhood that I don't remember Billy being there. My father and I were very close when I was growing up. I loved him intensely, and he was my rock. I absolutely followed everything that he did, followed him around. And same with Billy. Billy and I were very close. He took really good care of me. It was often Billy that was the one that took care of us as far as making meals and doing laundry and things like that. When I was finishing up my kindergarten year, and we were watching a movie called Land Before Time, as I'm watching it and listening to the dialogue, I'm learning and absorbing that there's this relationship between Littlefoot and his mother. And in the movie, Littlefoot loses his mother very early on, and she dies, and he has to go on a journey to go find his grandparents and other long-necked dinosaurs. And so when he lost his mother, it was completely devastating to him. And it was in that moment that it occurred to me that I didn't have a mother and that I didn't know what a mother was. I had heard people say mom, but it had never occurred to me that I had one and that actually I don't have one. By the time the movie ended, I was devastated that I didn't have a mom. And obviously I should have one, because how can I miss a mom like Littlefoot did if I never had it in the first place? But yet somehow I still missed it. It made me cry and sob so intensely that one of the teachers came over to me and started comforting me.
Wow. If you take a look at the majority of America, I think there's something, it's almost a 50% divorce rate. And the last figures I saw, I think it was at least in Ohio, is 48% of children are not living with their biological mother and biological father. Now, what she just described as a mother is the same thing that goes on with a father. If you remove a mother or a father from a child, you've created a vacuum. And I personally know that that is an incredible vacuum, that you will do anything desperately, desperately to try to fill it. Some folks will use alcohol, drugs, sex, sports. And especially when the fathers aren't there, gangs. You know, if you go to the prison systems and you interview some of the inmates and you ask them about their family life, yeah, for the most part, you're going to find that there was either an abusive parent, a missing parent, generally a father. And it just leaves you walk with a limp for the rest of your life, folks. The lady that you just heard and you saw, from the heart, you could not only hear what she was saying, you could feel what she was saying. I can't emphasize enough or hard enough what we need to do with regards to children and stop abusing them. I'm not even talking about sending them to a government-run indoctrination center for 12 years, where they teach them that life has no meaning, morals are relative, man's the major of all things, you're a victim, the state's your daddy. 12 years, bang, bang, bang. And by the way, we won't tell your parents. Share anything you want with us, and we'll keep that from your parents. you can go ahead and have that operation. And they'll be okay afterwards. They'll be happy that you're happy. The insane way that we treat children. Yeah. If there's a just God, look out. Look out, America. You know, the lady mentioned an animal video there, or movie that she was watching. I get on a social media local here next door, and I brought up the state of Tennessee and Indiana both, is what I said, as well as cities across the USA are replacing Pride Month with a celebration of the tradition of the family, aka family determined by the laws of nature and nature's God. So here's the immediate reaction. Here's the train reaction. Here's the result of the indoctrination from our government-run schools. This is the result. Sounds like anti-gay activism. We're offering an alternative, trying to re-marginalize gay people. Clever, but cruel. Historical best practices actually derive from matriarchy. You sound rather patriarchal and judgmental with all your caps and all, excluding the LGBTQIA, I say MAFIA after that. Population is not inclusive, but it is, folks. The natural family, you're somebody's child. You're somebody's child. You're part of that family, folks. You're part of it. Whatever you identify as, you're still a child. And I love this one. Why replace Gay Pride Month with another month? I propose that the people proposing this are narrow-minded and not very educated on scientific facts. Remember, opposite ends, cauterized. This is what we're getting, folks. There's no way we're going to meet them in the middle. Actually, the Socratic method and a couple other suggestions, but it's going to be very difficult because we've allowed this to go this far. Lesser of the evils. Isn't that what we end up voting for all the time? Lesser of the evils? I'll continue. I propose that the people proposing this are narrow-minded and not very well educated on scientific facts, or as you say, laws of nature. Perhaps they feel that left-handedness is unnatural, that whites are superior to color, and that all Muslims are terrorists. From a purely biological standpoint, the unnatural claim doesn't hold up to scrutiny. What kind of example is this individual going to give me? Maybe you've already guessed it. Same-sex behavior is well documented so widely across the animal kingdom that it is considered a normal part of natural behavior diversity. Homosexual behavior has been observed and documented in over 1,500 animal species. Bottlenose dolphins, bonobos, whatever that is, lions, sheep, many birds, insects, fish, and reptiles. As a heterosexual male, I don't understand why people get so alarmed and threatened by other people's choices. Do you understand what they're using? They're accusing you of being narrow-minded and ignorant. They're accusing you of not acting like animals. At least some of the folks that you don't see at gay pride parades. Anyway, they're accusing you of that. We need to participate, folks. We need to get into Dave. Neil, are you in there? Got a couple of questions for you.
Good morning, JR.
Good morning. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing super.
Neil was part of that 2024 Wisconsin Natural Family Festival. Neil, your impressions of what went on a couple years ago in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
Yeah, we had a wonderful organization. But first off, I got to say this: up here in Wisconsin, June is still Dairy Month. It's been Dairy Month ever since I understood the English language. But yeah, we celebrate the cow. We celebrate the cow in June.
Get back to the animals. Okay, get back to the animals. All right.
But yeah, we had that get together. Ray LeBlanc was instrumental in organizing that.
Oh yeah.
We ended up getting a park in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We asked business owners, vendors, speakers to come. There was a group that came in and got the children involved in building a playhouse or whatever. And the children were all could pound a nail in, be part of building this house. And then whoever participated in building that house, they threw their name in a hat and they drew a name, and that person who, or that child that helped build that house, got to take it home with them. It was wonderful. But you know, JR, story a little bit how you and I met. You came up with this idea several years ago, and you said it here on Coach's show, and it just hit me as, man, is that simple? That is such a simple idea. So mm-hmm. I made my way to Ohio to meet you, and we started talking, and I ended up coming back home, and I knew a sign company back here where I live, and they're a brother and sister in Christ, and I approached them about making yard signs to make your idea come to fruition and get it out there and get people to think about it. And they blessed us with making signs and making them available to the public. But at our church, what we do is our pastor gives us a Sunday in April where we promote the natural family, and our church promotes the natural family during the natural family month. But this year we have an extra week, right, JR?
Yep.
Extra weekend. So when we were up, my wife and I were up in front of the church promoting the natural family, getting everybody on board. And we have a younger church. And so a lot of people in our church do it right. They get married and they have a whole brood of kids, and the mom stays home and takes care of the children, so forth and so on. And what we did this year is we promoted date night for the parents on the extra week for the natural family.
Great idea.
Because what a lot of people, and the natural family is a complete unit, but you have to have a strong marriage. My wife and I have been doing marriage ministry for over 20 years. We've been married over 40 years. We started out as in high school. I always say she noticed me, but actually I noticed her. And we got married when we were 20 years old. Do not have any regrets about that. The only thing I do regret is we didn't get married at 18, because then I would have been married to her for two more years. I love that woman. And we promote strong marriages. Satan is working so hard for people not to get married. What does the culture tell us? Dale hit on it earlier. Oh, you got to wait till you can afford that. You got to wait till you get out of college. God's going to provide. And the longer you wait, when you wait until you are in your late 20s, early 30s to get married, what happens to your parents? Well, they're older now. So then the culture tells you, well, wait a little bit longer to have kids before you can afford kids, this and that. Well, every time you wait, you're wasting time, and the people in your life are getting older and older. And grandparents, I believe God designed to help their children raise their children. So instead of having grandparents that are somewhat more younger and able and physically capable of doing this, you got grandparents in their 60s and 70s that are, you know, a little less active, maybe health issues, so forth and so on. So they can't be as active in their grandchildren's life as God would intend them to be. So mm-hmm. getting back to strong marriages, you have to have a husband and wife who understand God's design for marriage and family. And my wife and I are so passionate about that. This last Sunday, my wife and I, we had church on our patio. We took a little break from our church that we go to, and we read the book of Titus, and we studied the book of Titus, and the book of Titus tells us what we are to do as elders in a church. Now, I'm not claiming a title as elder, but we're older in church, my wife and I, and we, people look up, I think people look up to us. I haven't heard anybody cuss my name yet, but maybe they do. But we are to set an example. We are to live a righteous life, and how we are to conduct ourselves as we do, as we're told in the book of Titus, and how to conduct ourselves as people in society, as people in church, to be a good role model. And this upsets a lot of people, but the woman was not designed. It says right in Titus that woman was to stay home and tend to the house. That does not make her a lesser person. Her role is equally as important as the man. She is to tend the house. So if you take the book of Titus and the role of the woman and you line it up with Proverbs 31, the woman in the Proverbs 31, she was at home busy. She was making scarlet linen. She was selling them. She would buy a field. She would plant a vineyard. She was a very, very, very critical role as a member of the family, as the wife in the marriage. The husband was to go out and secure an income. He was to provide. He was to protect. And the wife was to stay home, take care of the children, tend to the children, and do what she needed to do. And our culture today has lessened the role of the woman, in my opinion, and has sent her out into a world where God, I don't really think, designed her to be. He says in his word, she is to tend to the house, to rear the children, bring up the children. So that's another thing that our culture has screwed up. And I know many families where the wife is at home, homeschooling the children, marvelous marriages, and doing a fantastic job. And we have lost that. And I think that was part of the breakdown. My wife and I talked that we're only two generations away from that. My wife's mom went out and worked, and her mom stayed at home and tended to the children. They had the family farm, worked on a farm, and we're only two generations away from where we were. Now, our daughter, she has a doctorate of pharmacology. She works in a research and development laboratory. It's just incredible how quick that has happened, how we've gone in the last 50, 60 years to going against what God has designed us to be. So,
amen.
You have to have a strong marriage in order to have a strong natural family. And my wife and I, we do an annual marriage enrichment class at our church. We have many people, 50, 75 people come to this marriage ministry. We open it up to the public. There's people that don't go to our church that come just to keep them on track with their marriage. We always say it's you can't try to fix your marriage once the house is on fire. If you have a grease fire on a stove, you can't say, oh, I'll be back. I'll run down to the hardware store, get a fire extinguisher, because by the time you get back, the house is on fire. It's a continuing thing where you always are working on your marriage. Keep a strong marriage. Do parenting classes if you're young. If you're a young couple, bringing your children up in God's word, helping them understand, hopefully homeschooling. That's how God designed the family to be. So the culture is completely working against us. So we have to get back on track. We're hoping that in a couple generations, we will be back to where God's design for marriage and family should be. And JR, when we first started promoting the Natural Family Month, the sexual deviants got a hold of us pretty good, but the Holy Spirit got us, helped us get through it. And they doxed us on the internet, and they were doing drive-bys past our house. And I have to kind of chuckle a little bit because they were driving by, and my wife was on the golf cart, and she was pissed. And she took off with the golf cart. I says, Mary, you got to get something a little quicker if you're going to catch them. You ain't going to catch them with that golf cart, you know. But, if will you allow me to share one more story, JR?
Go ahead.
A lot of people know I have my leg amputated, and I was at the hospital in Madison, Wisconsin, and I was witnessing to a young nurse who was a student, and I was talking to her about the Lord, and she knew about the Lord a little bit. And my normal nurse, she was standing on the side, a young gal, just listening, and when this student nurse left, she ran up to my bed. Now, this is the morning after I had my leg amputated. And she said to me, she goes, "When's the best time to get married?" And I looked at her, I said, "Today." And she just looked at me with this most bewildered look. And we ended up developing a relationship with my nurse and her fiance. Just over a year later, we had done our pre-married mentoring with them, and they got married. We have an event barn. They got married in our barn, and I was blessed to officiate their wedding, and their marriage is thriving. So, you know, God uses critical situations to further his kingdom, and I'm blessed to have worked with those folks. So,
and that's so true, Neil. That's so true. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess I've been rattling on long enough here.
Yeah, I think Dale has a comment. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, I got lots of comments on this because I think this is the core of everything. This is the core of Christianity, is the Christian family. And Neil, that's awesome. And Neil, probably need to, I don't know if you're still doing signs. I'm down to like two after I've bought a couple cases. But anyway, here's a couple things. First off, this is, you know, it's tongue in cheek, but it's really humorous. When is it a good time to get married? I don't know. Oh, I got to get to know him first. Read in Genesis. Did Adam get to know Eve, or did they just get it? Let's get it on. I mean, just telling you, right? There's what do you mean? What do you mean? When I proposed to my wife, the man who led me to the Lord and her to the Lord, we were like sat down at the table and said, when are we going to do this wedding? He looked at the calendar and said, this weekend looks pretty good. So, but hey, Spence, if you could pull up Psalms 127. This is the core of it. This is the understanding. And I this is my heartbeat right here. Psalms 127. Let's go down to verse 3 real quick first, and let's skip. It said, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children in one's youth. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them." If you're out to battle, JR, right? If you're in a real war, bullets flying, how many bullets do you want? Just kind of curious. You want one? Many as possible. Exactly. Quivers. How many arrows do you want? As many as possible, right? Now, here's the deal. Get this, folks. All, not some, all children are arrows. It doesn't say Christian children here. It says children are. They are arrows in the hands of a warrior. Look at our children nowadays. What are they producing? What are they looking? They are the tool of the enemy. And the reason why, now go up, Spence, if you would please, to verse 1, the key of the foundation, except or unless the Lord build the house, they that labor build it in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen walk in vain. If your home is not being built on the gospel of Jesus Christ, your little arrows, your children, will be used by somebody else, and they will be of the enemy. I'm just telling you, the Lord is the key here, and for us to understanding, our children are arrows, and what we're caused to do is to raise them up to hit their mark in society. They are not, and I'll say this and finish, they are not as people have their family crest on the wall. Oh, my children, they go to church and they serve Jesus. And then you idolize them. You put them on the wall as a family crest. No, those arrows are meant to influence society. But the key is Jesus has to be the builder of the home.
Thank you, Dale. Well said. Folks, you don't know how much of a blessing it is to be able to converse with Neil or the other folks that we've talked with on the program today. And to get a better relationship with them, one of the things I would recommend is to work with them. If you see a need, that's your calling, folks. Maybe it isn't the natural family. Might be abortion. Might be what they're doing to the children with the LGBTQ MAFIA. But don't hesitate, do, because not only are you going to be able to work with folks that are on this program today, but you're going to find some new friends out there that you never would have discovered had you not engaged the culture. Praying is important. Staking is important. But folks, when you walk out your faith, Then's when you learn. Are you going to get a few bumps? Yeah. that's part of the fun. That's part of the learning. I kid around about this a lot, that when I win, I really don't learn a whole lot. But when I lose pain, I learn a lot. And God loves me enough to let me lose most of the time. And that's a learning experience. And we need to be grateful for that. Pain teaches you. I mentioned children teach you. Oh boy, do they ever. I don't know whether I got any other hands up. First of all, I want to plug. I have a Saturday morning podcast, lastcallradio.live. I put the link in there, lastcallradio.live, 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. Last week, we had two gentlemen on, Pastor Rusty Thomas and Representative Halsey, Bud Halsey. Bud Halsey initiated the Nuclear Family Month for Tennessee, and Rusty did the Father's Family in month in Florida. And that was last week, so you can catch that program. We'll have Jay Sixers on. It's due radio. We're not there necessarily to entertain you, but we're there to inspire you, to equip you. It's very important, very important. I've got about a two-minute video I want to end the program with today. I don't see. I think Jack's got his hand up. Let's go ahead, Jack, real quick.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I sent the producer a couple of pictures. You will be amazed at who you can present. The people that you think are going to jump onto this aren't. If you throw on that T-shirt and throw one of those signs in your car, you'll be amazed at who's going to say, wow, that's cool. I can get behind that. Look how this, my daughter, we deck her little bike out. He's got an electric bike, three-wheeler. She gets in the parade. You can just walk in a parade. You put your T-shirt on, even if you got to put it on over a sweatshirt or a winter parka. But it's simple. Just put the T-shirt on and walk down the street.
You'll be amazed
at who says, wow, that's really cool. But when you go to the church and try to present it, they're probably going to say, well, you know, blah.
Producer 1B, if you can get that up and ready, I want to end with that. Start at the 950 mark. And folks, there's hope. We can do this, but where there's unity, the Lord commands a blessing. And what the natural family does, I believe, is where there's no vision, the people perish. What better vision than the natural family? Coach Dave Dahmer, I really appreciate you letting me sit in today and talk about the family. If you would, producers, thank you very much. Go ahead.
Let's keep going. Let me tell you why this won't succeed. For two reasons. One is this. This movement is going to slam into the brick wall of reality. There is such a thing as a natural family in the world. It takes precisely one man and one woman to make a child. That is a natural family. A child can only ever have two biological parents.
He's not wrong.
And I know we live in a fallen world, and there are issues and there are challenges and there are times when this is not the case. But in the overwhelming majority of situations, a child will be better off with their two biological parents together in the home. And those parents will be attached to their children in a way that no amount of social engineering can possibly overturn. And the second reason is as follows. This world is ultimately created by and ruled by a father. God the Father made everything. God the Father is in charge of everything. Attempts to overthrow fathers and families are at their core a mark of rebellion against the Almighty Father. And the problem with doing that is, he will win. And so this movement cannot succeed in the long term, and it will not succeed in the long term. The solution to a revolution is a reformation. It is a revival. It is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And men and fathers seem to be the primary target of this. So I want to speak to the men. There is a movement that seeks to destroy your position and your place in society. But by the grace of God, you will not be destroyed. You're going to win. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to love God. We're going to love our wives. We're going to raise our kids.
We're going to steer away from all of the vices that the enemy wants for us. We are going to reject pornography. We are going to reject promiscuity. We are going to reject all of these agendas. We're not going to be weak and emasculated. We're going to stand up and we're going to take our place. We're going to go to church. We're going to study God's word. We're going to pray. We're going to be filled with the Spirit. We're going to build the kingdom. And I know this has been a bit of a downer of a video and it's been depressing making it, but can I say this? We're going to do it with a smile on our faces to annoy all of the right people. A freaking man. I feel better.
And we're clear.